How's it going, Harmony? You guys, wasn't worship so good? Will you guys give it up? So I don't know about you, but Christmas time is crazy for our family. Anybody else got an amen on that? Like, you're like, I can barely even talk right now. Christmas is crazy. Like, we have literally this week, we have three concerts to go to on different nights. I have a meeting in the evening. We have basketball games on the other days that we don't have stuff. It is literally just one thing after another. And I think all of us in December get in this mode of craziness. You're trying to shop for everybody on your list. Like, you, how many of you have grown a little bit too addicted to Amazon? Raise your hand if you're being on. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Like, it becomes addictive, right? Because you're like, oh, I can buy that. It's so easy. I just push the button and it comes to my house. It is anxiety riddled time. You've got Christmas parties. You've got end of year. You've got people that you got to go spend with. You got to plan trips. You got to plan for people to come over. There's all the cooking. How many of you have started even thinking about Christmas cookies yet? Yeah, anybody? Because I need to be on your list. I'm just kidding. I actually do not need to be on your list. All right. I definitely do not need to be on your list. Bring me carrots or something. All right. I'm basically like a reindeer at this point. So I don't know about you, but it starts to get crazy and chaotic. And you've got all this stuff to do. And not only do you have all this stuff to do, there's Hallmark movies to be watched, right? I mean, like, there's just, no. How many of you love the Hallmark? Yeah, we talked about this earlier, right? Okay, you're not my people, all right? There's something wrong with you up here. I'm just kidding. Here's the question that I've been pondering and thinking about. Why do we all let ourselves get wagged around by the craziness of the season? Why do we let this happen to us? Isn't it every year for you? Isn't every year it gets crazy? And when I talk about wagged, you've all seen that dog, right? The dog with the tail that like literally controls its whole body. It starts going and it's like, oh, and you're like, whoa, watch out. You got to get out of its way. Because, I mean, why do we let this season, this time of year, all of the craziness of this season wag us around? Have you ever slowed down to actually step out of the chaos to think about that and ask yourself that question? I can't prove it. I thought a lot about this, probably at least a good 15 minutes. I'm just kidding. I can't prove it. But I think it's because a lot of us have these feelings of we have to. Like, we have to do stuff. There's all these things that have to be done. Like, for instance, I put a list. Let's put that list up there. I have to blank for my kids. I have to be blank for my spouse. I have to be blank for my work. I have to be blank for my friends. I have to be blank for my family. There's all this stuff that you can fill in the blank with. Like, for instance, do any of you have kids out there? How many of you bought into this Elf on the Shelf thing? Like, our family bought wholeheartedly into this a few years ago, and it was super dumb. Like, worst decision of our life. I've started to call it the bump on our rump, because it is like, this thing is every single night of the week, something has to be done with it. And it's like, for a whole month, something has, and you're, like, the first year, you're like doing like Star Wars attack scenes and all this crazy stuff. But now we just like are shoving it on the toilet and like, you guys can find it, I don't know. Because it just becomes another thing that I have to do. You got some of those in your life? Some have-tos? You got any year-end stuff that's sitting on your desk waiting for you? And as I'm talking about it, your anxiety level's going up and you're like, shut up, Kent. Stop talking. Please stop talking, Kent. You got any Christmas presents that haven't been bought yet? You got any Christmas presents that need to be wrapped? You got any family problems that are just like are exploding and you're dreading all of the Christmas drama and having to engage back into the family drama? You got any health problems that are just, and there's all these have-tos around it? You got any relationships that feel broken or wounded or bruised right now? You got anything in your life that's calling you like that, kind of saying, you have to? If I'm right about this, what I think is happening is that all the have-tos are driving us crazy, like driving us out of our minds. So if I could, I'd want to implore you with something this Christmas season. Can I implore you that as we get started this season, to figure out a way to find some slow in the crazy that we call Christmas? Could I implore you to find a way to figure out how to get some slow into your life? Now, here's the problem for most of you is you're going, but Kent, my whole, like, I'm planned out for the rest of the year and for the next year, right? Like, you already know all the crazy that's coming and you know all the commitments that you've made and you're listening to me say, find some slow in the crazy that we call Christmas. And you're going, yeah, that's just, it's just unrealistic, Kent. It's just unrealistic. Well, could I ask you where that comes from? What is it that's driving you? What is it that drives all of the have-tos in your life? Now, I need to be very clear. This is going to be a little uncomfortable for you to actually think about and for you to not slip into some other mode of thinking and for you to just start thinking about all those Christmas presents that you need to buy and maybe thinking about getting your phone open and swiping through or answering emails and the text that you need to reply to and all. It's going to be hard because you know what we don't want to do is we don't want to actually deal with what is the voice that's driving all of that. Because I think for most of us, it is driven around all of these expectations. It's these expectations that are driving us like crazy. They're driving us. And I need to ask you this question. What is it that God needs from you? What is it that He needs from you? Because there are all these expectations that will ratchet you up and get you going. And I honestly am trying to get you going a little bit this morning, right? That's kind of my goal, is to get you anxious. So if anybody is anxious, you can punch me later, all right? That's kind of my goal this morning. Because I want to remind you of how quickly it can creep in. And I wanted to ask you the question, what does God need from you this season? Have you even stopped to ask that? Have you even stopped to pull out of the chaos of it all and just ask that question? I'd like to do something that I think is going to feel a little weird, okay? Because we don't do this in our culture, especially in probably the last like 5 to 10 years. We're going to actually practice slowing down. Because it's one for, I could come up here and preach and say, what does God need from you? And you guys would go, oh, and you'd write stuff down. You'd be like, great sermon, Ken, that was really, shake my hand afterwards. And then you wouldn't do anything with it. Because we all have a bunch of have-tos that are calling us. And so this morning, I want to do something a little weird. I'm going to, in a second, get this guitar right here. Partially I did this because I never get to play guitar very much, and I just wanted a good excuse. So I'm gonna get this guitar. And I'm going to sit here. And I'm going to play the guitar a little bit. And what we're going to do is it's going to be really weird. Welcome to join us online doing this, or if you're listening later in your podcast, I'm just going to play it. And what I want to ask of you guys is that you would just slow down for just a few moments. See, the scripture says to cast your cares on Him. And you know why it says that? It says because He cares for you. Like, He really cares for you. He cares about all of the burdens that you're carrying, all the stuff that is eating at you, all the stuff that you have to do this week, all the stuff that you can't get off your mind. So what I want you to do today is practice something a little bit different. You're going to take those things to Him and you're going to pray, and you just have your hands in your lap, cross your arms, whatever you want to do with your hands. But as you, I want you to take them and I want you to just go, Jesus, I'm worried about going to my family's this Christmas. I can't handle any more drama, Jesus. Will you take that? And then I want you to go, Jesus, I don't know how we're going to afford Christmas this year. Like, we're struggling financially. I'm just so overwhelmed by that, and it just is constantly eating me up. Jesus, would you take that? And I want you to just go through every single thing on your list, whatever your Christmas have-to list is. I want you to go through it with Jesus. Just take it to Him. And then, and I'll be playing the guitar. And as when you get done, what I want you to do, when you get to the end of that list where there's nothing left, I want you to just turn your hands up as a sign that you've let it all go, that you've given it to Him, that you have actually put it in His hands. And then I want you to ask this one simple, quiet question. Jesus, what do you need from me? And I want you to just quietly listen. And you know what would be one of the best things in the world? Is maybe you'll just hear Him say, I love you. Nothing. Or maybe He'll say, I just need your heart. I don't know what He'll say, but if He's quiet, it's okay that He's quiet. That's not a bad thing to have some quiet, but it's a bad thing for us never to slow down enough to embrace Him. So this morning, we're going to practice this. And it's a little weird. I know some of you are like, this is hippy-dippy stuff, Kent. And I get it. Like, just bear with me and try it. So take some time in the next few minutes to just give some things to him. I'm going to quiet down and play. About your future. Give that to him. Are you worried for your children? Give that to him. Did you get news about your health this week that is scaring the living daylights out of you? Give that to him. For you alone are worthy.
For you alone are worthy. For you alone are worthy. For you alone are worthy. Christ the Lord.
I want to ask you again, what does God need from you this season? Does he need all the chaos? Does he need all the rage that it causes in you? Does he need the lack of peace that it brings up into your life, the lack of joy, the lack of hope, the lack of freedom? Do those things sound like him to you? I'm not saying don't take your responsibilities serious. I'm not saying don't care about the important things. Some of you like you're like, Ken, I want to get pumped up and for life. And my guess is if you're that kind of person, you're already getting pumped up for life all the rest of the week. What you're not doing is slowing down to let your soul catch up with the speed of your life. If your soul feels broken, there's probably a good reason for it. It's because you're broken. What I'm saying is we all need to change the voice that's driving us. I'm not saying don't do stuff. I'm not saying don't be involved. I'm saying stop letting all the expectation of everybody else in all of this world drive you. Could I ask you a question? If I asked somebody who was close to you to write a paragraph about your life, would that paragraph include that they were just the kind of person who exuded peace? Like what you felt as we sang that song and you just had relaxed and given it to Jesus. Would they say about your life that they were the kind of person who they exuded peace, they exuded joy, they exuded real life? Is that the paragraph they would write? Because I want to read you a paragraph about a guy that Paul wrote about, and this is what Paul wrote about his life, and I want to read it to you. He says this in Philippians 2:19-24. This is Paul writing about one of his good friends, Timothy. He says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. He wants to send Timothy because he wants Timothy, somebody who he knows will send back a word about these people. He wants to hear how things are going with them, because guess what? They couldn't just text each other. There's no FaceTime. There's no Snapchat. He says this, "I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon." This is this beautiful, intimate paragraph that Paul writes about this guy, Timothy. If you don't know about Timothy, Timothy met Paul on one of his missionary journeys. He was already a Christian, but Timothy lived in this existence where he had a mom and a grandmother who loved Jesus, but his father didn't love Jesus. And so when Paul came into his life, Paul came in kind of as the spiritual mentor, the spiritual father to him. And Paul brings him along with him, and he goes on the journey, and Timothy becomes kind of Paul's right-hand man. And I hope as you think about these words that Paul was speaking to him, he spoke to them as a father over Timothy. I want you to listen to these. Some of you would kill to have your father say things like this about you. Listen to him. He said, "I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. I have no one else like him." Doesn't that sound like delight? Like Paul delights in Timothy. He knows who Timothy is. He knows Timothy's heart, that Timothy is unlike every single other person. Because what Timothy will do is Timothy will put everything aside for the concerns of Jesus. He will care about these people's concerns. Why? He says, "For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ." When he thinks about Timothy, he thinks about somebody who is concerned about one thing only. What does God need from me? His concern is Jesus Christ, and his concern does lead him towards things. It leads him towards people. Because do you know what the only thing God really cares about in this world is? Everything else is going to be destroyed except for this one thing. It's people. It's the people that sit around you. It's the people that you eat at the restaurant. It's when we're at Country Boy, it's that waiter and waitress. That's what God cares about. It is what he calls precious to him. It is what he delights in. It's people. And Paul says to Timothy, says about Timothy, "I have no one who's like him, because his concern is for the concern that Jesus has. His concern is for people." And then I love this. I think so many men would love to have somebody speak this over their life. He says this about Timothy. "Timothy has proved himself." Timothy's proved himself. If you don't know anything about men, the one thing that we're all trying to do is figure out if we, to prove that we have what it takes. It's what we all want. We all want other men to think that we're impressive. This is why men kind of puff their chests out, and this is why we shoot stuff and kill it and bring it home, and this is why we go out and we work really hard, and this is why, ladies, if you want to really pump your husband up, all you have to say to him is, "Thanks for working so hard for our family." I promise you, that guy will like raise another 3 inches, and he'll be like, "Yeah, you know, that's right, baby. I work hard, right?" Because that's what all of us want. We all want to prove ourselves. We're all worried that we're just not quite man enough. And Paul says over Timothy, he speaks these words over him. He has proved himself. Why has he proved himself? Because he looks out. He proves himself by not looking out for his own interests, but he looks out for the interests of Jesus. Timothy wasn't puffing himself up and trying to be a man. Timothy had changed the voice in his head, the voice that gave him significance, that gave him self-importance. It was the voice of Jesus. I have done a lot of sermons like this in my time, and most of the time I approach them as kind of a practical nature, like, you need to get all your priorities right. And that's not a bad sermon to say, get the right things, get the first and right things in order and do those things. So, you know, so normally, you've heard these sermons a million times, right? They're God first, and then church and family, and then work and friends, and that kind of, like, you get, we'll tell you, pastors will tell you, get your priorities right. And you're sitting out there like, oh yeah, priorities, that's good. But can I tell you something? As I thought about the sermon, because I thought about taking it that direction, I think it's not that God is first in a list. I think there's something wrong with that idea. I don't think it's that God is first in a list. I think this is about placing your list under God. It's like taking your whole self and putting it all under the authority and leadership of God, and you literally, literally slow down your life enough to take him all of your worries. You have to unload that stuff. You can't just pretend like they don't exist. You unload it. You unload it to the one who cares so much about you that he's counted every single hair on your head. And then you just go, Jesus, what do you want from me? What do you want to do today? What do you want to do today with me? I'm yours. Let's walk through this day together. See, what was unique about Timothy was that he cared more about pleasing God than fulfilling everyone else's expectations. I wonder, what about you? Is that what would be said about you in your paragraph? Would your paragraph be about how much peace you have, how you've proved yourself, how you care so much about the concerns of what God cares about? Or would it be that you are running from thing to thing, from thing to thing, from expectation to expectation, and you are so caught up in this rat race that you've forgotten to pull yourself out and go to the king and ask him what he needs from you? See, I think what's betrayed by all of our have-tos is this. I think that we believe the half-truth in our have-tos, that we can control everything, that you can keep it all together. And do you know why you have so much anxiety and so much rage and so much fear and so much worry, and why you're running from the things that are in front of you? Some of you, it's that you run into this escapism, and that you're running to addictions, and you're running to alcohol. You're running to stuff that you never even dreamed of getting involved with before COVID and all the anxiety that brought up. And now you've got these addictions, and some of you have an addiction to images on the internet that you cannot seem to get away from. And there's all this stuff that you're running to, and all these ways that you're emotionally exploding all over people. And do you know why part of it is? Because you can't keep it all together. It is a half-truth that you can handle all the have-tos in your life. You are not enough. And I want you to hear, that's okay. You were never designed to be enough. You were never designed to have to handle and manage every crisis in this world. It's okay. Show yourself some grace, because good night, we know that Jesus does. He looks at you. And could I just give you one last thing this morning? Could I give you what Jesus looks at you and wants from you? I thought I'd ask you one more weird thing to do, because I've already done weird stuff during the sermon. It's a little different, I get it. Tony, are you good playing underneath this? Yeah? All right. But isn't Tony amazing, you guys? Isn't he? Yeah. You guys don't know it, but this guy, he's like a Timothy. He sacrifices so much to lead worship for this church, and to our whole team does. They're incredible. I want to read something for you out of Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And this is actually from the Message version, all right? So what we're going to do is I'm going to read this to you, and I'd like for you to do, this is the weird thing I'm going to ask of you, all right? I want you to just close your eyes as I read it. And I want you to picture Jesus speaking these words over you. You can picture yourself however you want. I know some people that would love to just be able to sit in Jesus' lap and just listen to him speak over them. Some of you, maybe you're sitting on the floor in front of him and you're listening to him speak over you. I don't know how you want to picture it, but picture it. I picture him as this really short guy, because people in Jesus' day were pretty short. And I picture him as really short, and I picture him with really dark olive skin and dark hair, and I picture him with these really rough hands because he was a carpenter. I picture him with scars all over his arms and his face maybe a little bruised. He has worked hard his whole life. He has lived his whole life to this moment, and he speaks these words over you. Are you ready for it? Close your eyes and just let this be what God is asking of you. Listen to him. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Doesn't recovering your life sound so good to you right now? I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Doesn't freely and lightly sound really good right about now? Doesn't it sound good? See, what I wanted to give you this morning was not another Christmas sermon. You guys know the Christmas story. If you don't, read it. Luke, beginning of Luke, beginning of Matthew. So good. But what I wanted to give you was the opportunity for restoration. Was the opportunity to slow down, to stop swiping through your day. To stop going from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing to thing and letting that drive you. And to instead relearn a new rhythm of grace by following Him. Lightly, freely, walk with Him. In just a moment, we're going to partake in another thing that is honestly kind of weird if you think about it from outside of being a Christian. You're going to go to these tables and there are these little things of communion. It's got a little piece of bread in it, a little piece of juice. There's a place for you to leave your tithes and offerings. And it's a little weird. Because what you're going to do is you're going to rip off the top and there's going to be this little piece of bread. I love my kids will come up to me while I'm standing over here and they'll bring me communion because I don't get to go take it very easily. And they'll bring it up to me and we'll take it out, the bread, and I'll say, what does this symbolize? And they'll say, it's Jesus' body broken for us. And we'll rip off the next layer and I'll say, what does this juice symbolize? And they'll say, it's His blood poured out for us. Can you even... begin to really imagine God wanting to come in that way for you, to come after you, that you mattered enough to Him, that you were enough for Him. You may not be enough for all the world and all the expectations, but guess what? You were enough for Him to step out of heaven, to come after you, to give His own very body and blood for you so that He could become the Passover lamb, that when God came through and the death angel came after us all, He would look at your life and He would see over the mantle of your life the blood of the Lamb. And it would be Jesus' blood that would buy you freedom from sin, freedom from death, hope in this life, and faith in this world. He came to give it all for you because you may not be enough for this world, but you are certainly enough for Him. Certainly enough for Him. So this morning, as you go and you take one more quiet time with Him, would you take the time to remember the one who gave it all for you? Listen, I'm not naive enough to think that this fixed everything for some of you. So some of you may need to come up here and just get on your faces before God and just keep what you did earlier going of like letting it go to Him, giving it to Him. This is also your time to do that. We're going to stand and we're going to sing a very old song called How Great Thou Art. And I want to invite you to sing this with me. Sing it at the top of your lungs whenever you're done with communion. Because He is so good. He is so great. You guys stand with us and worship the one who can restore you.